Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Locker's making plans with Rider Nation live in Winnipeg as we speak because people are lamenting the lack of team passes.
Team party passes.
We have expert Darren from Osh Percy who calls us trying to continue to explain it, although he did sign an NDA, as he disclosed on the radio a few days ago, about the lack and what they did with the capacity limits, but there is some concern. So
the venue is...
It's a nice venue.
It's a nice venue. I will say that.
It's very large, but they didn't sell enough party passes to fill the thing for some reason.
Maybe they were trying to control numbers. Has there been problems in the past?
It's Ryderville. Don't try to control numbers. Just let's party.
Yeah.
That's all I want. Meanwhile,
we do have a backup plan. It's Shannon's Pub, which is down there, which is close to RBC Convention Center.
Yeah, Locker's Drive was making plans with the Rider Nation.
Because it was a little thin last night, right? I was out doing my Locker on the Loose, and I expected a lot more people. I know it was Thursday night. It was the first, and maybe tonight will be a little bit better. But, I was surprised at the numbers, if I'm being honest.
Thursday is usually a little slower day. Hopefully it picks up tonight, and it's usually, jammed on Saturday night before the Grey Cup as more and more fans come into Winnipeg, Manitoba for the 112th Grey Cup. We are live, of course, from Fan Fest, and I love this that people are now giving you grief on your field goal kick from yesterday.
Oh, I just got some abuse. I've never kicked a field goal in my life. I'm trying not to make excuses, and I tried not to yesterday, but that was my first attempt at a field goal, and I was up last night in the middle of the night practicing kicking in my hotel room, and then I got here today, and there's a Fan Fest is
jammed.
When
the last time I kicked a field goal was? Probably a decade or more
ago.
Okay,
well, I didn't want to make excuses.
Do you know how many practice swings I took? Zero.
I wanted another kick at the can, and so I was going to go down there and give it another go.
With the lineups, too.
The lineup is crazy, so I missed out my chance before the show. I've been keeping an eye on it to see, because I'm going to run down there if I can, see if I can boot one through the uprights. I was thinking about it. I literally was dreaming about it all night. I hate losing. I have a thought. I didn't get enough.
What is
follow
losing
through?
Like?
Stop it.
We continue here on the Green Zone. But right now, I went one-on-one with the quarterback of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Trevor Harris, ahead of the Grey Cup. And, of course, we've been talking about the bracelets he always has on. And so what's he wearing for the 112th Grey Cup on his wrists?
I made them at the beginning of the year. They say decisively engaged on one side, and then the other side, Mace kind of said, we're on the clock, and so we got some alarm clocks, and then I put on there SR for Saskatchewan Rough Rider Time, but if you say it fast enough, it's our time. It's our time, and so we've kind of been manifesting this moment for quite a while.
That quote's going around. You had the quarterback last week saying it's our time. Some people are saying a little bit more of a Trevor Harris who's pumping his chest maybe a little bit more than past. Where's that coming from?
Yeah, I wouldn't say pumping my chest. It was that more or less just last week. I got asked a ton of questions about their quarterback, and it was just like, after you give your seventh or eighth answer about one person, it's like, hey, I'm not here to talk about this guy. And, I'd probably do the same thing if I keep getting asked about Davis. We're playing against a very, very good defensive, against a very, very good football team. And so, it's more of us just where our focus is at. And I was just kind of just irritated at that time. I was like, I'm done with talking about this. Like, can we talk about us a little bit, but I do get it. He's a Canadian quarterback and that sort of thing. So, I do feel like it's our time. And I'm sure they feel the exact same way. If you don't feel like that and you're in this moment, then shame on you. So as a leader, it's up to us to make sure that we're keeping our guys in the moment and doing everything we can to go out and win the football game on Sunday.
How important is discipline this week? And for you and Micah and Jermarcus to lead that, it's a Grey Cup party, but we can party all week next week if you take care of business on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that's when you're in the meeting room, it's be in the meeting room. When you've got some free time, go get some film. And there's going to be more distractions, more chaos, and more hoopla and that sort of situation. But make sure that you're getting in what you need to get in for your prep. And I don't feel like we've had any issues with that. Getting adjusted to being here in Winnipeg and the meeting rooms and the certain timings, and today being media day, just kind of. Adjusting and staying in the flow of where we need to be. But if we notice anything out of whack, I know that our guys will say something, but I haven't noticed anything.
You've said, early in your career, like, man, you kind of had a goal to be the quarterback of the Rough Riders. When was that moment, and why did it strike you as a goal?
I wouldn't say I described it as a goal. It just, I'd like to be the quarterback of the Rough Riders someday. You never know when or if stuff like that does happen. But I played for Toronto, and we won in double overtime in Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan, I think, was like 0-1 at the time, or maybe even 0-2. And I remember being like, man, this fan base is awesome. Like, they show up and they showed out and they were loud, and you could feel like the passion from the fan base. And I'm kind of a small town guy. I'm from a small village, basically, of Waldo, Ohio, of like 400 people. And so, I'm just kind of like, feel like I fit in here as well. And so, it's been an honor and a privilege. I'm really grateful.
So what would it mean to deliver one for, I'll start with Saskatchewan?
It's been a while. And so it would be pretty cool, but, I think I'd be more focused on, seeing my teammates celebrate, more than anything. And cause we've got, quite a while to celebrate, as a province and think about that after this, after we would win. But, it's more or less just keep the focus where the focus is. And I think it'd be probably a better question to answer for Sunday evening, if we get it done.
I've noticed, I don't know if it's true or not. You can tell me. It sounds like you've been a lot more reflective this season. Like, before the Labor Day game, you're like, I got to soak this in. Is it just reality of going and being honest? Like, yeah, you don't know. Like, this might be your last opportunity to win one as a starter. Like, how much are you trying to soak it in, but how important is this moment for Trevor Harris?
Yeah, I think the soaking in the moment thing is kind of just a gratitude thing. And you grow up wanting to be the man in the arena and get things done, and be at a certain level and do certain things. And I think a lot of times we just say like, oh yeah cool anyway, but I think it's okay to kind of just sit back and just be grateful for where you are, and it gives you some perspective. And so that's really all it's been. And a lot of work with my mental performance coach through those sorts of situations, and my faith of just being grateful for where God has me is kind of what that's come from.
Is there a finality to it, of the potential of what Sunday means to you and your career, or not yet?
I think it's a lot for other people to speak about, and maybe it's something you reflect on after. But I've never thought anything was about me. Football is a team game, and we're going to get this done together if we get it done. It's not going to be, Trevor won his first. That's not what we'd want. We'd want the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to be up there, and that's really what our aim is. And I want to see my teammates celebrate with that cup over their head, and that's where my motivation lies.
I don't know, because I saw Darian. He was a backup, won a couple. When he won that one, it's going to mean more.
Oh, I'm sure. But it's not like my focus has never been on like me or a legacy. I think what is always going to define me is how I've played the game and how I've treated my teammates and how I've represented Jesus Christ as an athlete and as a person. What kind of man have I become through the process? Really, more so than thinking about legacy or anything of that nature.
Okay, is AJ Ouellette a better person to drive in a car with or live with? I need to know this.
Which one's shorter? No, I'm just playing. No, he's the man. He's one of my best friends. He's just a tremendous guy, and somebody that I'm really grateful to call a friend, and it'll be a friend of mine forever.
That is Trevor Harris, of course, the quarterback of the Grey Cup. Today at the State of the League address by the commissioner, they promoted there's going to be a new YouTube digital series, like a three-part series. It follows six players, three from each team, through Grey Cup week.
Drops tonight, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. First episode's tonight, and the first clip is the producer asking Trevor Harris, is this your last football game? And he takes a deep breath, and then you hear him say, I'm not touching that. So there's a lot of chatter about if he wins, Will he ride off into the sunset, or is he back as a 40-year-old quarterback?
Your question about how he looks more introspective on the field right now.
He's reflecting a lot more. Yeah.
You're seeing that. You saw that with Bo at the end of the Eastern Final when they lost to Montreal. So you're seeing it. You can see it on these guys' faces. They know the clock is ticking, right?
Hey, Father Time is undefeated. Haven't seen anybody beat him yet. So we will see. 1-877-332-8255. What do you think? Do you think Trevor Harris might ride off into the sunset, or do you think he is back with the Rough Riders? I wrote earlier this season, I think they should assign him to an extension in August the way he was playing.
I think it'll depend on what happens on Sunday.
That they bring him back or not?
I think
if
he
wants to be back, you bring him back no matter what happens on Sunday. If he wants to be back, you bring him back. Because what's your option?
I'm talking about his decision. I think his decision depends on Sunday.
We'll see. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here live from Fan Fest. It is the 112th Grey Cup as the Riders take on the Montreal Alouettes. Logan Ferland. It was a four-peat last night for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Logan Ferland was awarded the Jake Kadar Veterans Trophy. This is a player that best exemplifies the qualities of the military. Camaraderie, community, teamwork, community work, all of those things. And for the fourth straight year, it's a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Yes, Dan Clark. Then it was Braden Lennius. And then last year, Jorgen Hughes. And this year, Logan Ferland. Of course, with all the work he does with the Children's Hospital, our Brittany Cafe did a great feature on Logan Ferland earlier this year. He was a premature baby. He was born 3 months premature. And now he's 300 pounds center for the Saskatchewan
Rough
Riders. That
man does not look like he was a preemie.
So he's now giving back to like that community. And it's interesting, Brittany's son, Henry, has quite the kinship with Logan Ferland. Logan actually invited him to do the opening coin toss at a Rough Rider game.
Nice.
And last night he spoke to how important this award was for him.
This means a lot. Football isn't just for what's going on the field, but off the field, and that really exemplifies the work we do in the off season. So, very much appreciated.
Can you talk about just Rom told us back in May? You kind of taught them how to fight. You really helped them overcome hurdles yourself. So, just talk about your experience and everything.
Yeah, journey. I don't remember, but you know what? Just seeing the impact and really reliving all those moments. As a family, when we went back there and toured the hospital and being able to see everything they have with the Jim Pattison Children's Hospital now compared to the NICU that was there before, it's really came a long way. So it just really adds to the importance of how close that is to my heart.
What's it mean to you to be in this position where you can affect other kids positively and show them what can be accomplished?
It means a lot. That's a lot of what I do is for the kids and for the next generation to strengthen them. So it means everything.
Does an award like this kind of exemplify more of the impact that, you know, someone like you can have, not just on the football field?
Absolutely. It was something I was surprised at, of how much community involvement the Saskatchewan Rough Riders specifically really have, and how much kids look up to us. I think back to when I was in high school and even elementary school, and I had J.O. come to my school and talk to me when I was in elementary school. So the fact that many years later he's now my GM, I mean, it shows how much you look up to those guys, and you don't really realize what is in your future, and you have a lot to look forward to.
There is Logan Ferland. He is the Jake Kadar Veterans Trophy winner for 2025. They'll try to go 5-for-5 next year in Calgary.
It sounds cliche, but tell me what you're waiting for me. Baby, I'm a rolling stone. I got a lot of right in me, but I don't want to say this.
I'm sure he's going to play this song for this Grey Cup halftime show, right? Locker?
I don't even know what this is.
It's Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh. Sounds like a hit.
It sounds like something you'd play at a Grey Cup halftime show.
Yeah.
I hope he plays that one, because that one's got some energy to it.
Me
too. That one's
got
some energy to it. It's gonna be good.
I hope he plays all his hits.
Name one. Yeah, thought so. Anyways, now do me.
Name one.
There we go. Machine Gun Kelly, the Grey Cup. I'm sure the kids will love it because Britton Gray's excited.
I should have paid more attention when we were driving in, because Britton Gray played about 32 Machine Gun Kelly songs from Regina to Winnipeg on Tuesday.
As we continue here on the Green Zone, it was Stuart Johnston's State of the League address, and he, in his opening remarks, he said he had one regret about his rules announcement from earlier this year.
There is one thing I want to clarify. When we announced those rule changes, I did not do enough to emphasize something very important: our unwavering commitment to the Canadian game. So let me be clear. We are three downs, 12 players, unlimited motion, 65 yards wide, and huge end zones. These rules are not going anywhere.
There you go. Those rules are not going anywhere. Three downs, 12, 65, unlimited motion, and note he said huge end zones, because they are shrinking it from 20 to 15 yards. There was Stuart Johnston. Now it's all about, do the fans trust that?
Well,
Settle down the conspiracy theories that are out there that he wants to merge with the Spring League and all this garbage that's going on? I just don't believe some big wigs in the Board of Governors would actually want to do that, including the gentleman that joined us earlier today in Craig Reynolds, the president and CEO of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and Wade Miller, and, you know, Jay McNeil of the Calgary Stampeders, and Pinball Clemens of the Argonauts. And I can go on with some hardened CFLers who have been in this league a long time who would not have that.
Got a text from Dean. So we asked if anybody went to the fan portion of the State of the League media address.
Yeah. Did anybody out there that knew somebody who was there today in Winnipeg?
Dean was there, and he was like, I watched Stuart Johnston address earlier, and I found him to be very transparent, clear on his priorities, honest, not afraid to admit areas that he needs to dig deeper into. It wasn't a bunch of fluff. Very impressed. I trust that he has the best interests of the CFL in mind. And that is from Dean from Regina. Obviously, Regina, Dean is in Winnipeg here for the Grey Cup. And you know what?
You know what? He probably downloaded the CJME app or CKOM app and is listening right now. Hello, Dean. Hope you're enjoying your time in Winnipeg.
But again, he's new. And he did make some mistakes.
Yeah.
And last week we talked about the fact that we didn't see this on the schedule when the schedule
first came
out.
Usually on the schedule it says the fan state of the league.
They did,
it wasn't on there.
They made some tweaks to it. They adjusted it, but he did stand up there and he took his blows. And I talked about that media event that we went to that was hosted by Dave Naylor.
Yep.
And I ran into him, had a quick conversation, and I told him, I said, I'm impressed that you're going to do that. And he goes, no, this is part of it. I have to do it. And I'm going to take some bullets, but I fully expect that, it's going to take some time to gain the trust of the fan base. And I think it'll come. Right?
Yeah. It's first impressions, right? That was his first major news conference since his introduction was all these rule changes. I graded him a BB+.
Okay.
Like, Mark Cohan was the king of these. Now, I don't go as far back as Daryl and them for the State of the League addresses, but Mark was the first one I went to, and that was great. Then there was one with Jim Lawson between Mark Cohan and Jeffrey Orridge. Jim's fine, but he wasn't the commissioner. He was just the lead of the board. Then Jeffrey Orridge, and that one was, oh, my goodness.
Not good.
It was bad. Right from the hop, I'm like, this guy is not going to last long. And he lasted 18 months. I think he did two of them, and he was already done. Randy I enjoy Randy's a great guy.
Yeah, I enjoyed Randy.
He was, if there is a commissioner that you go, this he guy ran is out a runway. Politician. He was saying a lot of words with not a lot of substance to answering questions. I got a lot more substance today from Stuart Johnston than we have at one of these in a long time. For the commissioner of the Canadian Football League. And they always have a little announcement, and he did announce new website for the CFL, new websites for the teams, a new app. Yeah, people have been like, where's an app? There will be an app. They're hoping it's all good to go and launched in 2026. I did have a question, though. But I had two questions. You're allowed two questions. My first was the ratio for you.
Thank you.
My partner, Locker. I knew you were really...
Gung-ho. When are you changing the ratio?
So when he announced a new website and a run-up, I had PTSD from the stats that they did when it came to Genius Sports and the Gong Show that was the stats.
Didn't they buy that company?
No, they're part of the CFL. They're the 10th partner now in the Canadian Football League. So
yeah.
I asked Stuart Johnston, is Genius Sports still a partner, and are they having anything to do with the rollout of all this fantasy football app, website, stuff?
Look, I absolutely acknowledge I was on the outside looking in or close by professionally, and the stats rollout did not go well. It just simply did not. I will say that has improved significantly. I've also been developing my relationship with Genius. They're delivering stable stats now. They've supported us with a lot of our free-to-play games that we have on our website. But their expertise is not in website development or app development. So, no, they will not be involved in that going forward.
All right. So do you trust Stuart Johnston? We got a text.
Brandon, I trust Stuart Johnston as much as I trust Locker kicking a field goal.
Oof, that is not a lot of trust.
I'm gonna practice, Brendan.
Coming up next, my one-on-one with the offensive coordinator of the Rough Riders, Mark Mueller, on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you live from Winnipeg ahead of the 112th Grey Cup. I talked to offensive coordinator Mark Mueller. Of course, he won a Grey Cup with Calgary. But is this one a little more special wearing green?
Does this mean more that you are wearing green this time?
I think it means more because it's the one that we're in now. I mean, the first time we went when I was there in 14 in Calgary in my first year, it was such a whirlwind that I don't really understood. Like, I never understood what happened. You know what I mean? It was my first year coaching. I was on defense. Like, everything was just like, wow. I mean, I'm just happy enough to be coaching in the CFL, and you know that I made it through the year without getting fired. You know what I mean? So it was that was an awesome year. And then every year since then, whether you have more family or your children or you're married, it means more to everyone because everyone has to sacrifice to get here. You know, I have a wife and two kids, and my wife works full time, and I don't get to see a lot of my children for 7 months or whatever other than at bedtime. And so she makes a lot of sacrifices. So I think they mean more each time the older you get and the more people that are involved.
But being able to walk by a statue of your grandfather every day coming into work. Well, what is that like?
I mean, it's really cool. I mean, I get to walk by the statue of him, George, who is a really obviously close friend of his and our family. Like, you know, I got to watch the 95 Grey Cup with George in the Hotel Sask because I was sick and my mom wouldn't let me go and George wasn't going to go because it was too cold. So I sat in Lancaster's room with me and George, and there's a picture of me watching with him. Like, that's pretty cool, right? So I get to walk by a guy like that. And then even more importantly, I turn in and there's an 89 photo, so I get to see my old man every day too, right, Larry? So it's really cool that it's kind of like everyone in the family's been a part of it, a bit a part of the team, and it's a big part of our family, whether, you know, cheering for it or working for it.
With this whole vibe this week of trying to win one for Saskatchewan, what does that mean for this group?
Well, I think it means that, you know, Corey talks a lot about how we represent the province and we represent the people. And I think he's done a good job of, you know, stressing what that is. And to me, you know, I grew up there. It's about, you know, being tough, loving each other, family atmosphere, and doing the stuff that no other people like. When I think of Saskatchewan, I think of guys going out, you know, my uncle, you know, married my dad's sister, so my aunt, you know, their family, they're farmers. Right. And, you know, I always talk about how hard I'm working. I know I'm not working as hard as that guy. You know what I mean? He's up every morning at 3 o'clock when it's minus 40. Right. So I think we represent that. I think we represent grit.
So with that being said, Is that what this team is? Do you see that in this football team?
I think I see people that love each other and genuinely enjoy being around one another. And whether that's coaches to players, players to coaches, equipment staff, video staff, I think it's a group that really enjoys being around each other and, glad that we could work the maximum amount of days together.
How have you developed, Mark, from early play calling days, getting a little piece of it, to last year to this year? Like, what are the big takeaways that you went, okay, starting to get into the rhythm of a play caller in this league?
Now, I'm a big advocate of the only way to get better at something is through doing. I mean, I know a lot of people may not think that, but it is the only way to get better at something. So if you're not going to be able to do it and get the chance to grow, I mean, that's why we practice five times a week before one game, right, in football. So for me, it's just getting more used to whatever that routine is. You know, I didn't know what the routine was going to be. You know, I was in a new spot with a new staff, you know what I mean? And so last year, and then just slowly getting better and better and better, and hopefully that we continue to get better at that routine and understanding how we work every week. You know, whether it's this week or 5 years from now, hopefully we're all together and we're all just getting better at that and more comfortable, but still not. Once you get comfortable, you usually get surpassed, right? So you still want to be working to get better and just understand, you know, what needs to be done to get the players ready to play.
Is this team different? Like, just talk to CJ, and he's like, a couple of years ago, I know you weren't here, but it was not like this, but you've experienced good cultures in Calgary. But is this, they all say they're special, but is this one special and why?
I mean, I think so. I think that, I mean, since we got here, you know, in December of 23, I've always been really impressed with how hard the guys worked. I mean, the receiver group, you know, I get to spend the most time with them and the quarterbacks, right? But the receiver groups, they'll stay late and throw all day. They'll run routes. They work out together. They want to meet. They want to ask us questions, right? So I've always been very impressed with the work ethic of everybody on offense. So I think it's just gotten better and more together every single week.
It's getting Dan Plaster getting out of here.
Trying to get me out of here. Yeah, come on.
How old were you when you were watching the game with Jordan?
I'd have been six because it was 95. So I'd have been 6 years old.
Still?
There would be somewhere, yeah. I don't know, but the Mueller Museum is kind of a mess. So it might be hard to find. But if my mom knows where it is, the picture would be somewhere for sure, yeah. It's pretty cool. I just remember George has the stash, you know what I mean? It's awesome. Oh, yeah.
But look, you were around Grey Cups with your grandfather,
all the time,
right?
So that was my first one. I got left at home in 93. Because I was four, and then in 96 Edmonton went, so I went to Hamilton, and that's one that we'll always remember, the Hamilton game, right, like the fumble and everything like that. And then 97 was in Edmonton, so I went because he was still coaching Edmonton. And then 98 Hamilton went, 99 Hamilton went, so I always went to those ones. And then my old man used to work the game for CBC or TSN, so if it was close, I would go and stay with him. And the Grey Cup was, I mean, it just was kind of like a family event because my grandpa would be there, my uncle. It was awesome growing up. I got some of the best memories of my entire life at the Grey Cup. Like, my dad told me I should write a journal at the 99 Grey Cup when Hamilton won, and I was like, I'll remember it. What a mistake, you know what I mean? Like, that's probably one of the few times that I should have listened to Larry. So, you know, but, I mean, the Grey Cup's mean a lot to this family, and I'm excited for my family to get here this week.
How nice would it be to add that name again?
I think it'd be pretty cool. I mean, anytime you can get, win a championship, it just makes that, you can remember it forever. Like, you can kind of bond it forever no matter what happens from that point forward. And these guys have worked really hard, and I would like to be a part of this group forever.
Okay, was there ever an underage Mark Mueller drinking champagne out of a Grey Cup picture?
I don't know what was in the 99, but I got to drink out of it. And I was around too much, and those guys took really good care of me. Like, I was probably very annoying and eating all the donuts and things like that. So, but no, it was lots of fun.
There is Mark Mueller admitting that there might have been a little bit of underage drinking going on with the Hamilton Tiger Cats in 99 drinking out of the Grey Cup.
Could happen. It'll happen. I'd do it, too. There's a lot of waste in those rooms. It's hard to watch.
Well, it's like, well, he would have been 10 or something like that. Come on.
I don't get
a little
spring.
Bit of beer. It's like, hey, son, come here. Take a little sip out of the Grey Cup. That's cool. Like, it's cool.
It is
like,
funny.
Mark's family, how much they mean to Saskatchewan, the Lancasters, and of course his dad Larry's been involved in football. His mom, when his introductory news conference, she was so proud. She didn't really want to talk to the media because she didn't want to. They don't want to make it about Ron, right? And Ron Lancaster and all
yeah.
that stuff. They want to be it about Mark, but you can't help but talk about that family and the threads that combined them through the years of success as they're trying to add another piece to that legacy Sunday against the Alouettes.
One of the questions I wanted to ask Craig was if he packed rain gear and goggles.
Oh, they don't do that. They don't do that in the CFL.
No.
They do, but they don't have goggles. Coming up next, our CFL insider, Dave Naylor, is right here in the flesh on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.